Botanist Daniel Shamovitz argues that plants can not only communicate, they can see, smell, feel, and remember. Not too long ago, he wrote a book called What a Plant Knows, which just might change the way you look at your garden. Steve Paulson reached him in Tel Aviv.
Danny, do we need a new model for how we understand the plant world?
I think we need to be much more appreciative of the complexity of plants, exactly how you said. You know, we sort of see them as unmoving stationary objects. You know, we tend to relate to any organism that doesn't react like people do as something less than we are, when in actual reality, plants are incredibly complex. We can even say on some levels, they're more complex than people are, and we need to have an appreciation of that.
How are they more complex than people?
Well, for example, in terms of visual sensitivity, you know, we can see red, green, blue, you know, the rainbow, differentiate between light and dark. We have about 4 different photoreceptors in our bodies. Plants have upwards of 13 different photoreceptors. They see things we're blind to. From a plant's perspective, we're actually visually challenged.
Well, and you say that plants also can distinguish between colors. Why would they care what the color is?
Well, I don't think it's a question of caring. But how does a plant know when the end of day has come, when the night has begun? As the sun sets, we see the spectrum changing from white to yellow to red to a very dim red, which is called far red light. It's very far along the spectrum. This far red light is visible to the plant, and it signifies the beginning of night.
So I mean, we tend to talk about our own circadian clock. You're saying plants have their own circadian clock.
Of course, plants can go through jet lag. Literally, if you there are certain plants that open their leaves during the day and then close them at night. If you would take a potted plant like that, put it on an airplane, and if you would come from North America to Israel, its leaves would open at night and not during the day for the first few days. Now, when we study this, we don't put the plants on planes and send them around the world. We just have them in growth chambers where we can change when the lights go on and when the lights go off. But you can literally have a plant go through jet lag.
And you say plants also smell. I mean, obviously they don't have noses, yeah, but somehow they smell.
Well, so here, let me just give you describe one of the stories or one of the things that's known to agronomists or plant growers for years. That, for example, in willow trees, if a willow tree is attacked by beetles, these willow trees, the leaves start giving off a chemical into the air, which is then picked up by the leaves of a neighboring tree. They smell it, we could say. And then when they absorb this chemical, when they smell the chemical, they start making other chemicals which become poisonous to the beetles. So in other words, they know how to protect themselves from the infestation. Now, this was a study that was published in the late 1970s, early 1980s. And when they were first published, this was like, you know, trees were screaming to each other, warning each other. But the facts are that there's some type of information being exchanged between trees, which we would call communication.
And I have to say, I mean, even just the very fact that once these signals go out, the ability then to respond, I mean, to release toxins, to repel the bug, I mean, that's pretty remarkable in its own right.
It is. I mean, so again, because we don't see trees talking to each other, we don't see trees moving, we tend to think of them as simple organisms, when in reality, they're incredibly complex genetically. Actually, most plants have more genes than animals do.
Do plants respond to touch?
Oh, sure. The most obvious example of a plant responding to touch would be the Venus flytrap. You know, if you've ever seen these movies, you know, of an open Venus flytrap and a fly landing on it, and it will wait until the fly is exactly in the middle, and only then it'll close.
So how does it do that?
Here's what's so amazing. It actually does it with the same mechanism that we do to a certain extent, through electricity. What happens when a fly lands on the Venus flytrap is that it touches 2 hairs, these 2 big black filaments in the center of the leaves. And when 2 of these hairs are touched, not 1, but 2, it causes an electric signal which radiates through the leaf, which causes it to snap very quickly shut, all in the absence of nerves and all in the absence of muscle. The basic cellular biology is the same.
Yeah. I mean, this is amazing what you've just said. So if just one of these hairs is touched, it's not going to close. There has to be a second one that touches. In other words, it has to remember that the other one has already been touched.
So there's so many different things happening in this process. One is it knows it's being touched. And second, it's remembering that the first one was touched, storing that memory until the second one is touched, recalling the information, and then responding. You know, I call that short-term memory.
Do plants have long-term memory?
Yeah, and that's maybe even scarier because plants can store information and retrieve it over months, even years, and even through generations. Plants that have been exposed to some type of environmental stress, such as drought or heat, will then give rise to seeds, to progeny, who are more resistant to drought. It transfers that information from one generation to the other.
This is all pretty astonishing, I have to say.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's wonderful.
So given all that you've said, is it fair to call plants intelligent?
I don't even want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, and I'll tell you why. My wife's PhD was in educational psychology, and she was trying to define multiple intelligences. I started talking with can I call plant intelligence? And she gave me this look of, we can't even define for ourselves what intelligence is for humans. You want to talk about what it is for plants? You know, the great psychologist Gardner from Harvard, he's defined 12 intelligences so far, I think.
Right, multiple intelligences.
He says, okay, you want to call one vegetal intelligence? We can call, just give it a name and call it the 13th intelligence. The VQ, we can even make a test. We'll call it a VQ test. I think it's a moot point.
Let me rephrase the question another way. Okay. I mean, obviously plants don't have brains, but I'm wondering if this complex system of response to the environment that plants have, if that's somehow analogous to what a brain does.
Well, I think that makes us rethink what is a brain. And I think one of the most amazing things of plant biology is that a plant is acutely aware of both the temperature, the light environment, its age, the amount of water in the soil, what its neighbors are going through. And it integrates all of this information in the absence of a brain. So in other words, a plant has a unique mechanism which allows it to do calculations and to make decisions. So while a brain and a nervous system is an amazing evolutionary adaptation that allows decision making, plants have developed their own mechanisms which we're only now starting to understand.
Steve Paulson talked with Daniel Shamovitz. He's the director of the Manna Center for Plant Biosciences at Tel Aviv University. You can read more in his book, What a Plant Knows.